So we're going to study a sugya of Hashem on Daf Hey of Days, and we'll just try to do the best we can. You know, I'm really lunging out at some very esoteric areas of Kachim, which are probably way beyond my reach, but nevertheless we'll try to do whatever, the best job that we possibly can. And we're looking at what I call line 13 on Daf Hey Amid Beis, and that begins with the word Basar, or Bashar I should say, because that's part of a Simon, and it starts with Yosef Rav Huna V'Rav Nachman V'Yosef Rav Sheshes Gabayu V'Yosef Yukam. You have this? Okay. Now again, just a little bit of background. We know that the Mishnah has established at the beginning of Zvachim that if you bring a carbon with a Machsheva Shelo Lishma, there's a very paradoxical classification, halachic classification of that carbon. On the one hand, it's a carbon kosher. We'll go through all the avodos. We'll be makriv it on the Mizbech. On the other hand, minus the Ritzui and Lo Olu Bailim L'Shem Chova. And Reish Lakish here on Daf Hayam and Aleph had a lot of trouble with that. And the Gemara tries to undermine Reish Lakish's premise that you can't have a carbon kosher, says Reish Lakish, without Ritzui. And the Gemara tries to do this in many different ways. In one way, we talk about a Chatas Yoledes, which theoretically could be brought after her death, but because of her death, we can't bring it. That's called a Chatos Hamesos. And in the case where she brought the Chatas during her lifetime, we can bring the Ola after her death. You may be familiar with that. I don't know what day of the week you show up, but in any event, we had a long discussion about that possibility. At this point, the Gemara wants to prove the Shita of the Mishnah, so to speak, which was the Shita of Rabbi Lazar against the Shita of Reish Lakish, based on Korban Asham. And that's what the Gemara says. The Yasvi V'Ka'amre, okay, they're sitting here, these two great Amoraim, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, in the presence of Rav Sheshes, and they are relating to Kasha Le Reish Lakish, the famous Kasha of Reish Lakish, and the answer, the response of Rabbi Lazar, and they raise the following question: Asham delo osi liachar misa lemale Rabbi Lazar. In other words, why did Rabbi Lazar have to stretch his arm out to the case of Chatos, which is going to bring many, many different problems in the sugya of Daf Hayam and Aleph? That here's a case where we're going to have a carbon that is kosher, but it's minus, it's missing the element of what? Of Ritzui. So why did he have to stretch his arm out to Chatos, and the Gemara is going to prove that Chatos is a different category? Why can he just take the case of Asham? What happens in the case of Asham? The Gemara says that Asham delo osi liacham misa. In other words, if, let's say, the Korban Asham was shechted, okay, shelo lishma, and now you're going to ask the question, is the Korban kosher? And you're going to assume that probably the Korban, according to Reish Lakish, should be possible. Right? Because after Misa doesn't have an element of Ritzui. So Rav Huna asks the following question: Lemele Rabbi Elazar, why couldn't he respond to Reish Lakish by saying Asham Nami Asi Liacham Misa? What happens if a man was obligated in a Korban Asham, and let's say, for example, he was Mafrish the Korban Asham and he was Magdish the Korban, and then he died? So we have a principle, and we'll see Rashi's interpretation of this principle, called Yira Ad She'istay, which means that this carbon that was designated by the individual who passed on as an Asham will let that carbon roam around and graze in the graze lands until finally it swallows a nail. I'm just using that as an example. And that's called Nafal Bo Mum. And after it becomes Bal Mum, we have a new Allah. And that halacha is that we sell the karban. Normally you can't sell a karban. It has kedushas aguf. And there's no pigeon on kedushas aguf. But in this case it became already a balmum, which is psuli amukdashim. And as a result, we can sell it. And the damim, the monies, that have to be careful. The word damim means two different things in two different contexts. Like in Aramaic, there's the word chamra. Does anybody know what the word chamra means?
Wine.
Well, that's another interpretation besides wine. It's a donkey. So it depends where the chamra is. If it's on the table, then you know it's wine. If it's out in the stables, you know it's a donkey. So the two meanings of the word damim. You know, usually in kashrut, the word damim means the blood that has to be. Nizrak al gabim is bad. But the word damim also means monetary value, and there are two kedushos in the world of kedushin. There's something called kedushas haguf or kedushas mizbeach, and then there's a kedusha called kedushas damim. And in the case of the karban that became a balas mum, the kedusha now, shall we say, experiences a transformation. Thank you. And instead of being a Kadosh Kedushas Haguf, which doesn't lend itself to any sort of pigeon, it becomes Kedushas Domin. It's almost as if we're saying that every Kedushas Haguf really hides within it, it overshadows a Kedushas Domin. What's going to allow me to bring the Kedushas Domin to the fore, so to speak, from the shadows, bring it out to light? That's called Nefilas Mum. Because with Nefilas Mum, we completely undermine and neutralize the Kedushas Haguf. And what are we left with? Kedushas Damim. And in the case of Kedushas Damim, we can sell the karban, and now the Kedusha of the karban, which was a Kedushas Damim, now is transmitted or transformed into what we call Damim for karbanos. Meaning we can use the Damim that we receive from the sale of this balas mum for the purchase of a karban. That karban is called a karban ola. So it's very interesting. We started with a karban asham. Now the owner of this karban asham unfortunately died. So there's no way we can bring the karban asham, but we can somehow, in a sense, transform that karban asham into a different karban. Namely what? A karban ola. How do we do this? So this is a two-step process. Number one, yira achi yistayev. So we got to send it out with the roan, with the shepherds, out to the grazing area. Now it became a balas mum. We undermine the kedusha of kedushas haguf, and now the karban is downgraded to a level of kedushas damim. And Rashi is going to explain again. Don't get into this yet because I want to build this up step by step. But Rashi says that kedushas damim is called Keitz HaMizbeach. So we don't know what Keitz HaMizbeach is, we'll just throw it out there as a terminology. And what we do with the Damim is we give a karban with this Damim, means we're going to purchase a karban and bring a karban onto the Mizbeach, but the karban is going to be what? Ola. So it's a fascinating process because we started with, let's say, time T1, the karban was a karban asham. And then we went through time T2 and time T3 until we ended up with time T4, and it's a karban ola. What happened in between T1 and T4? We had number one, the filas mum, that's called yirat shistai. And number two, we had a conversion process in which we converted this balas mum, which was originally an asham, into a karban ola through what mechanism? What happens at time T3 before we get to the ultimate stage in which we could purchase a karban ola? That's called Keitz HaMizbeach, which means that the monies that we got for the sale of this karban asham with a mum can now be delivered into a sort of a bank, so to speak, which is called Keitz HaMizbeach, and the karban that we purchased with the Keitz HaMizbeach is called a karban ola. Now, what does Rav Huna want to gain from this whole story? He wants to understand how you can take a karban asham, liacham mises bailim, and somehow transform it magically into another karban that's going to come on the mizbeach. After all, we've already undermined this karban. It cannot be brought as what? As an asham. No way, no how, because mesu balel, and the asham is meant to be a kapara for his sins, but he's not alive. And yet we were able to bring a substitute karban, which is a karban ola, which is kosher, and is brought on the mizbeach, And yet, in the original form of this carbon, it was a carbon asham. So we undermine the ritzui element of that carbon asham, but we're still going to bring a carbon olah on his back. In other words, what Rav Huna is arguing here, it's not just Rav Huna, it's also Rav Nachman, is that somehow that carbon asham, I'm sorry, correction, that carbon olah, which is going to be brought on this bath, is a hemshek, if you will. It's an extension of the carbon asham. But if that be the case, it's a carbon kasha on this bath, and it's lacking the element of ritzui, because again, it's still a carbon asham, albeit in a different form. Again, you might reject Rav Huna or Rav Nachman by saying, forget about the carbon asham, that's history. Now we went through a process by which we generated a whole new carbon, and that carbon has whatever ritzui element is, you know, exists in a carbon ola. And I think we've mentioned in the past, have we not, just correct me if I'm wrong, that ola also has some element of ritzui. Does anybody remember what kapara you can generate by bringing ola?
Excellent.
For mitzvah say. So there is some element, and we may say, you know what? This is irrelevant to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish wants to know if the carbon asham, as it was originally designated, could generate a kapara. The answer is that although that same behema, which is originally a carbon asham, that could be brought on the mizbeach, but maybe that's not a problem for Reish Lakish. Why? Because that's not a carbon asham. Asham is history. The genie came. And what came out of the, what's it called?
The bottle?
It's called the bottle?
The lamp.
Anyway, the lamp. Oh, that's the word I was looking for. What came out of the lamp? What came out of the lamp is a whole new carbon. It's a carbon asham. Olahu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says you have no proof from the case of asham shemesu bailov. And that is no, there's no comparison to the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masech Tzvachim of Shechita Shalom Lishma. Because asham, after miso, lamai karev, what's it's being brought? Well, why are we bringing it on the mizbeach? We're not bringing it as what? As a carbon asham, but it comes under the category of mosros. Okay, mosros is something, again, one of these magical concepts. Like, for example, let's say you were magdish an animal and it got lost, and in the meantime you took a replacement animal, then you found the first one. So the second one becomes mosros. And the halacha of mosros is that we can take that mosros and we can convert it into, through a process of ketzam zbeach or of mosros, whatever it's called, we can convert it into a carbon ola, and that has a new status of a carbon ola. If that be the case, the Gemara says we're back to Reish Lakish's kasha chatos nami mikriv carbon mosra. Now, in the best case scenario, if you take a carbon chatos, and let's say, for example, he was mafish a carbon chatos, and then he lost the carbon, or let's say he wants to give himself a little leeway that in case he loses it, he wants to have a second string carbon, so he's mafish a second string, then once he brings the first carbon, because he found the first carbon, or he never lost it to begin with, then as far as the second carbon is concerned, he can bring, if it's Yirat Shistad, he can bring a substitute carbon, which is going to be now the ola from the domim of the first carbon. That's fine, but that's a din of mosros. That's not a din of shalol lishma. In the case of shalol lishma, we're not talking about mosros. We're talking about that very same carbon, and yet it's brought as a, let's say, an ola, whatever he was mafreshit, whatever he's makdashit. And therefore, there's no equation here to this din of asham, because the din of asham is a din of bringing a carbon ola, and again, that ola will have a new status as a replacement of the original asham. For example, the asham is what kind of chovah? Oh, sorry. What kind of carbon? Is it carbon chovah or carbon nidava? It's a carbon chovah, right? This asham doesn't come to nidava. There's no such thing as a nidava carbon asham. Whereas the replacement carbon, through this process of Yirat Shiyastayev, that we're buying money because the Kedusha converted into a Kedusha's Domim, and now we're bringing a new carbon, that Ola is going to be what kind of an Ola? It's an Ola's Nedoma. It's not an Ola's Choma. I'm just giving you one, let's say, peg to hang your head on, the hat on, to prove that the carbon now has a new status. It's not just called an Ola, but it's an Ola's Nedoma. It's not even an Ola's Choma. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Chatos afal gav de karva mosara." Okay, even though in the case of chatos, if you would have a situation of shalol lishmo, which is pasul karmon, then maybe you could bring it under the law of mosros. And the reason for that is because miet rachmana, in the case of chatos shalol lishmo. Okay, so this is a parasha called Seir Nasi, which is in Vayikra Dalet. I'll read to you the whole pasuk. It's the last word in the pasuk that we need here. V'shachat oso b'mokam asher yishchat es ha'ola lifnei Hashem chatos hu. Okay, so the extra word hu is always called b'havayaso yeh. I'll explain that in a minute. That as long as it's b'havayaso, you can shechti l'shem chatos. But if it's not b'havayaso, which means if the carbon changed its status, let's say, for example, it came about a smum, then it's pasul. And the Gemara says now, Osham Namik Sivhu. We have the same pasuk in the parasha of Osham. It says, V'ktir Osam HaKohen HaMizbecha Ishe Lashem Osham Hu. And here again, we're going to dash in the word Hu Bavayaso Yeh. So therefore, it was shechted for the purpose of a carbon Osher, then it's kosher. And if it was shechted Shalolishma, then it's a carbon pasul. So now we have both in the case of chatos and in the case of osham the same word hu and the same miut of hu, which would seem to mean that it has to be shechted l'shma. If it's shechted shalol l'shma, then it's going to be pasul. So the Gemara answers, ha-hu, this pasuk ha-hu is li'achar aktoras ha'imurim u'diksiv. And then we have the question of whether or not the shalol l'shma in the case of aktoras ha'imurim would unwind the karmon. Kirsanya, we have a brisa that says, Aval Osham, Lo Nemar Bohu Eloli Achrak Toras Emurim. So the word who in this pasuk, because again, let's read the pasuk one more time. The pasuk says, Vehikter Osam Akoyam is Becha. So we're talking already at the time of Haktorah. What's being brought on the Mizbeach? So the brisa says, we're talking about Haktoras Emurim. Now we're not talking about shalol l'shma. So the word ahu cannot be indicating that if we're shalol l'shma, the carbon is pasul. And the reason for that is in Akhtar Siburim, he already brought a carbon kosher. If the shalol l'shma was at the time of Akhtar Siburim, what happened at the time of Zrikas Adam, which came before Akhtar Siburim? He had a perfect l'shma, and if the carbon was machapa, the ritzu was clinched, way before he got to the point of Akhtar Siburim. Is hu atzmo in loik tiru as aymurim kosher, even if he didn't bring the aymurim at all, let's say the aymurim got lost or they became tamei, then the carbon is still kosher. So how much more so if he was marked to the aymurim with a machshava shalol l'shma? So you can't tell me that the word ahu, which is written with regard to aktoras aymurim, is coming to exclude and pasul a carbon of shalol l'shma because at the time of aktoras aymurim there's no machshava poselis. Again, it's going to be a long discussion here in the Achronim, because the Achronim point out that there is, this is the Achieza, you know, Chaim Ozer Grzinski points out that there is a Machshava Poselis called Pigul. So let's say he's marked in the Murim and he has a Machshava to bring them tomorrow on the Mizbeach, that's Chutz Uzmano. But he goes on to present that that's only a separate halacha in Pigul, but it wouldn't apply to Machsheva Shalol L'Shma. So therefore we're stuck with the following question, who, lovely, what then is the case of Hashem, the Pasuk, who coming to exclude? Any more answers? Look at Rav Huna Amar Rav, the Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Hashem Shenitak Lira'iya. Again, these are all very complicated concepts here, but we'll try to explain them to the best of our understanding. Here we're going to have to use Rashi. Ushchato stam kosher. And the Gemara is going to analyze the words of Rav, that if you had what's called nituk, do you hear the words? Oshem shen nitak. And once you had a nituk liri'iyah, then you can sheft it, and it'll be considered a karban ola, what we call an olas nedova. Nitek in, lo nitek lo. The pasuk of Hahu in the parish of Osham is going to tell me that the only time that you can be makriv this karbon as a karbon ola is only in the case of nitak. What is nitak all about? Again, there's a lot more in the sugi, but let's just take a break and read Rashi. Do you find the Rashi nitak le re'iya? Okay, here I have to be a Sfaradi because I have to pronounce the ayin here, because otherwise it sounds like an aleph. So we're halfway down the Amud here on Daf Hayamid Beis in Rashi, and he says shenitak le re'iya shemesu bailav. He gives two possible scenarios for nitak le re'iya. One of them is going to be what? Mesu Bala. Okay then? So Mesu Bala. Or a second alternative, he says, Onis Kapru bi Acher. They brought a different carbon. So we now have Kudshin, which Lechora require Hakrav on the Mizbeach, but we have one of two issues. We can't bring it on the Mizbeach either because A, the Bailan died, or B, because they brought a different carbon for that same chov. This is the second string carbon. And in such a case, we have a concept and a salvation, so to speak. How are we able to salvage this carbon after the Bailan died or after the Bailan brought a different carbon? Says Rashi, that's where Nituk comes in. And what is Nituk? Nituk midin asham, we are cutting off this carbon from its original designation, its original hakrav, its original afrosh as what? Hakdosh as what? As an asham. And that nituk process sends it to the grazing areas, l'ri'iyah. How do you effectuate this process of nituk? Sha'amru lo bezdin, bezdin has to make a declaration. Hotziu v'yireh. Take it out into the grazing areas and let it graze. And in such a case, it becomes down the line what? First stage of balas mum. Once it becomes balas mum, we can convert the money into a money for the case of Mizbeach, which is called a carbon ola. And then we'll bring it as a carbon ola. Now, let's take a look at the language here. Of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav that there was already a nituk lira'iyah. So Bezdin made this declaration as Rashi formulates it, hotzi'u liros. And then we wait till it falls a mum, or a mum falls on the animal. Now we're going to buy a carbon ola with its damim after we sell it on the market. And ushchato stam. Okay, let's see the next Rashi. Ushchato stam kosher liola. Rashi says hoil v'sofo leketz hamizbeach shehu ola. So we have something called the ketz hamizbeach, and that money of ketz hamizbeach is used to purchase a carbon ola. You get the impression from Rashi that it's exclusively dedicated to ola. That's called ketz hamizbeach. Nitak in, lo nitak lo. In other words, Rashi says, why do we need Bezdin to make this declaration? Hotzi'u liros. And that's because to mi'aker shem oshamine. As a result of Bezdin's declaring that we send it out to the grazing area, that is going to accomplish the following goal. It's oker the shem osham. At this point, it's not an osham. Now what happens? He went and he shechted. So they were oker the shame asham at the point of nituk when they sent it out for re'iyah. Now it became a balas mum. We bought the money for Kate Summers, but we bought this animal.
Shechtel stam.
Wait, you one step ahead. You one step ahead. No, I know it's shechtel stam, but I'm just saying the following. What we did was after it had a mum. At that point, we sold it for a carbon ola. And at that point, if he shechts it, he's shechting a carbon ola. Now let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, hoil v'sofo leketz hamizbeach, which means, at what point in time does Rashi validate the shechita of stam and make it into a shechita of an ola?
Before the bone.
I don't know if it's before the Baal Mum, I'm not sure exactly what point, but at some point before we sold the carbon, because Rashi says, Sofo leketz hamizbeach. So what does that mean, Sofo leketz hamizbeach?
Maybe a clarification. We're not
just one more line, and then the floor is yours. Nitak in lo nitak lo. Rashi says, "Dimi akir shem osha mine mishen nimsar leroa." So Rashi is outspoken here on Yechiel's question of before. That's why I just want to get this in under the wire. That at what point does the transformation of this animal from the state of Asham to the state of Ola take place? Rashi says it's got to be Nituk. Okay, what's Nituk? Bez Din Rashi says it's declared that this carbon is to be sent out L'Re'iya. And then Rashi says at that moment of Nituk, Mi Akir Shem Asham Mine. Now, if I would stopped here, I would have said that maybe there's some sort of a faceless, anonymous name to this carbon, and it allows us to wait until the carbon gets a mum and then sell it and then buy a carbonola. But Rashi says no. And if you have any doubts about it, look at the next three words in Rashi. Rashi says, "Vekam stame liola." So when it says v'shafto stam, it's kosher as an ola. Rashi's saying that took place after nituk. It's already considered sofa leketzam is beach, and now it already becomes an ola. And how do I know it already becomes an ola? Because Rashi says mi'akar shem asham, and therefore come stame biola, which means if he shechts it, it automatically is considered a shkita of ola, and it's kosher as a carbon ola. So we assumed before we saw this Rashi that we need A, B, C, and D, right? Time T1 until we got to time T4. When does it become an Ola? That's only after we went through the process of Nefilas Mum, and then we sold it what? As Kachim Psula, meaning as a Balas Mum. We took the money, and then we purchased the carbon Olas Nedova. And at that point in time, it should become a Shkita L'Shem Ola. But not earlier. In other words, the transformation, what we call the Akira, in which we change, transform the magical status of an Asham into an Ola, would take place when? Only after we did it, right? Time T2 and time T3. But Rashi says no. Rashi says all we need is what? Nituk. Once the Nituk is accomplished, Rashi says the Nituk removes the Shem Asham, but not only that. It's not just a negative, it's also a positive. Rashi says, come, stame liola. Once it's no longer an asham, it becomes an ola. It reminds me of what? Which carbon becomes another carbon? Automatically.
Pesach.
Excellent. Pesach, which comes a carbon shlomo the whole year round. Or, for example, you have Mosar Pesach, where he's mafresh the second carbon Pesach, and then he was makir the first carbon Pesach. The second Pesach becomes a carbon shlomo. Again, I'm not sure if it needs an akira or if it doesn't need an akira. Here, in the case of a carbon asham, which is a perfectly good carbon asham the whole year round, in order to be okay the shame asham, we need a nituk. Lo nituk lo. It's lo amistama liola. Why? Because the Torah says asham havayaso yeh. So it means that the word who is coming to tell me that as long as there's no nituk, and Besen hasn't sent this carbon out into the pasture lands, then it retains its status as what? It's Shem Asham. And there's no Akira. But now, in the case where there was nituk, Rashi says that accomplishes a nituk.
Wait, so once it's put out to graze, then it automatically becomes
stama la'ola.
Even without the exchange of the selling and...
Correct. That's what Rashi seems to be saying.
But
give me just one more minute just to add something.
But technically, you're not sacrificing that animal. You're selling that animal and getting...
What he's saying is, if you went, I think, that's what I was going to ask, is that if you go out before the moon happened and you mama shech did it, you shechted an ola.
Why? Because the nituk itself accomplished that. So let me just read to you the language of Tosfos. Again, this Tosfos is not here, it's in Menachos. He says, Mitov Pirsha Kuntris, Mashma, the Gemiri ben Nituk, L'Re'iya, V'Alma, Uvisha Masru L'Roa, Kosha Liola. As soon as it was given over to the Roa, it's already Kosha as an Ola. Right? Because Rashi is saying the Nituk itself accomplished that Akira, and now it's Stama Liola. Uvisham V'Elech, and now on, Afilu Hu Atzmo, even if you went ahead and shefted what we would have thought is still a carbon asham, is shuv shame ain shame asham olam. And Tosus adds the following three words: v'tema gadol. I'll read five words: v'tema gadol omar ke. Again, Tosus doesn't spell it out, but I think what Tosus is pointing out here, that why should Nitu have the ability to transform the shame carbon from that of an asham into that of an ola? That's going pretty far. So if you take a look at that Tosus, you'll see this.
Can I just get a clarification of how we got here? Because I'm sort of fuzzy on the part before. We wanted to say that the word who didn't mean this, but it meant to teach me that the carbon asham is kosher if I don't do Aftaras Emurim. And then Gemara says, but what do I need the word, you know, what do I need the word who for that? Meaning Elahu Lamali. Meaning I can know that without the word who?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because if the word who is coming to passel the carbon, which was the original Havamim, and that was the kasha on the whole halacha of Shalom Lishma, he says, I can't even have a hop, and it's coming, I'm sorry, not to passel, but I mean to exclude the psul of Shalom Lishma. He says, if you talk about Aktaras Imurim, I never even had a Havamina that there would be a psul of Shalom Lishma. Drop the Imurim, even without the Imurim. So in what case is Hahu coming to say that when is it possible X but not Y? Hahu. So the answer is Nituk. That if you have an Asham, at what point is it possible if you bring it as, let's say, an Ola? That's before Nituk. But after Nituk, it's no longer possible and it becomes an Ola. That's why Rashi learns the Sugya. Tosus thinks that Nituk could only generate some sort of a potential in which the carbon eventually can become an ola. So in that sense, it doesn't accomplish an akira, and it's a precondition. But Rashi seems to assume that the nituk accomplishes the entire process, and therefore the ahu is telling me, wait until nituk. Once you have nituk, then the carbon is kosher. Again, it can't be kosher as an asham, either because the bialim died and there's no kaparla mason, or alternatively because the Bialim brought a different carbon as a substitute Asham, so this is Mosaros. But once it hits the point of Nituk, that Nituk magically accomplishes the complete total Akira of the Shame Asham. We substitute now a Shame Ola, and now Rashi says, Vishesit Mistama, then it's kosher as an Ola. And Tosis doesn't tolerate this. So what I want to learn with you now is a sugya on Daf Yud Beis. So we're going to fast forward here to Daf Yud Beis. Omen Aleph. And you'll see it hopefully on the Maamar Makomos page. Did you get that, Alan, the Maamar Makomos page?
Yeah, great.
Okay, so you'll see it's three lines before, I'm sorry, five lines before the end of the Amud. It's a memra of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay then? So it says the following. So we're all on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, five lines up from the bottom. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Behema shel shnei shutfim. Again, Daf Yud Beis, that's 12a. And we're five lines up from the bottom. Should I write that on the board? No?
I copied the wrong page.
Okay, I'm sorry, it could be my mistake. You know, very often I make mistakes.
That's probably me.
But do you see Amar Rabbi Yochanan? One, two, three, four, five lines up from the bottom.
Yes.
Yes, no, maybe so.
Yes.
Okay, we got one yes. Any other? You know, yes, in a vote, we need at least a majority. Which reminds me, I have to add a little Tehillim now. And we're in court right now. I mean, my wife is representing, so it's not a major issue. I mean, it is a major issue financially, but it's not a criminal case, at least. We just tried to stay in Rabbi Meir, so whatever. All right. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. Mimamakim kosifash. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Behema shel shnei shutfim. This is like such a classical Gemara. If you learn a Sefer Kedusha, you know, you find these kind of concepts of shutfim, you know, or if you learn sugyas in Yevamos, well, chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin, right? You always have these shutfim. Hittish chetzim. Okay, now Reuven only owns half the animal, and he went ahead and he was magdish half the animal, because that's the maximum he can be magdish, and he was magdish as a carbon, correct? The good news is, the achakach afterwards chazar v'loka chetzi hashem v'gdisha. Now he owns the entire animal because he bought out. Reuven bought out Shimon. Now the only problem is, at what point was he magdish the animal? Before or after he bought out Shimon? If he bought out Shimon and then he was magdish, it is ein al mali tfakeh. You know, that's upgrade for sure that he can be magdish. But he went in, he was magdish half the animal before he bought out Shimon for the second half of the animal. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Kidosha, and we have to figure out what that word means, but somehow his Hakadosha is valid. Now usually, if I were to ask you by sheer association, if I told you the Hakadosha is valid, what would be the next step? Right, bring it on to this bear, correct? But he says, V'ain a kriv. Oh, the bad news is that we can't be makriv on. Now, whenever you have a case of kideisha v'ain a kriv, then you apply the following rule. Yira achi yistayev, v'yipo b'mum, and then with the monies that he sells on the market, this carbon, he gives that money for, let's call it, kates ha-mizbeach, and then they buy a carbon ol. But in any event, what we see here from Rabbi Yochanan is that the status of this animal, to some extent at least, is that it's kedosha b'kedushas karbon. It can't be brought on the mizbeah, but it has a kedusha. Now at this point, we're going to introduce a concept called dichui. Do you remember dichui? So what happens is, if we stop the process midway, meaning before he bought out Shimon's half and was makdish the second half, at that point he only had half the karbon. And if he had half the carbon, he has no ability to be magdish the entire behemoth as a carbon. Say half the carbon, I can't tell you which half, is chulin at that particular moment. Now, a carbon, an animal that's half chulin and half kachin, cannot be brought on his back, because that would be chulin lazara. So at this point, we get into a situation called dichud, which means that the carbon at this point is dochli. Dochli means that even if I remove the reason or the cause of the psul, I can undermine that. In this case, he buys out Shimon's half. Nevertheless, this carbon was already dochli. And yet, and here's the paradox, Rabbi Yochanan says kedosha. Now, to what extent is kedosha? I mean, might not be meaning you can't bring it on the mizbeah. So the answer is, you're going to year out chistayev, and then you'll take the domim, and with that domim, you'll be able to buy carbon. But Rabbi Yochanan goes even a step further, and he says, v'osa tmura, that this animal, although it cannot be brought on the mizbeah, but nevertheless it can create tmura. So if he has another animal, which is chulin, and he points to this animal, which he once owned half of it in partnership, now he owns the whole thing, but then he was magdashim. And he says, Harei zu tmura zu, in such a case, the behemas chulin becomes a behemas kachin. Again, all this has to be understood, but we have this middle state here in which we have a certain level of kedusha, but not a total level of kedusha.
Wait, it becomes a tumura for something else?
No.
Oh, you have to bring another animal.
No, we'll call it animal exhibit A. That's right. The animal that he was magdish in two stages. Right. While he was a part of it in half, mm-hmm. He was magdish his first, and then he bought out the second part, he was magdish the second. That's called exhibit A.
Okay.
Now he has exhibit B. That's a carbon of chulin. That's a behemoth chulin. And he says, Harei zu tumura zu. So you might say, well, you can't generate tumura from A, since A is not subject, it's not suitable for Akrovel Gabi Mizbeach. It doesn't have enough Kedusha, a level of Kedusha that would allow it to transpose that Kedusha, graft it onto a second animal, which is Chulin. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and he says it does have the power, the Kedusha level for Tmura. But again, the Tmura is going to be no better than Da'il Vamin Adin, than the original Karbon, which in this case is Dachuvi, and it can't be brought on Mizbeach. So that's called Tmuraso Kayotzebo. So there are many dimensions to this sugya. The Gemara has three different dimensions to this sugya. Number one, Shmamino that Bali Chaim Nidochim, that there's a din of Dichui, even with regard to a live animal. Usually the halach of Dichui applies after Shechita. And that's going to be a major machlokas in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan takes the position that there is dichui even on a live animal. Shmamino dichui meikorabi dichui. In other words, from the time that he was makdish it, it was already dochli. Usually, dichui takes place after he was makdish. In other words, at one point it was royal of his bayah. Again, all this is details about the halachas of dichui. But we're interested in focusing our attention on the third shmamino, which sort of brings us over to Daf Yud Beis on the day. Shmamino yesh dichui bedom. And that's what we want to try to understand. What does this mean? Yesh dichui bedom. Now watch what happens. When he was magdish half the animal, in such a case, the animal could not possibly be brought on his back. Why? Because it's half chulin. So at that point, what kedusha, maximum level of kedusha, can he superimpose on this half of an animal? Because again, kedusha saguf would mean that it's kodesh l'mizbeach. This half an animal cannot possibly be kodesh l'mizbeach because it wears another hat, and it's also chulin. Now, whenever we take a hakdasha, we have two options. One option is kedusha saguf l'mizbeach. And in the absence of that option, then his Kedusha automatically becomes a Hekdish for what? Kedusha's Domin. Now, if there's a Kedusha's Domin, when we talk about Dichui, Dichui means it's rejected, so to speak, from the Mizbeach. But now we're not even talking about Kedusha's Mizbeach, Kedusha's Aguf. Because the maximum Kedusha that you could achieve here on the half of the animal is only Kedusha's Domin. And the chiddush now is that Rabbi Yochanan is going to apply the din of kedush of dichui even to kedushas domin. Meaning, why not? Let me argue the opposite of Rabbi Yochanan. If I was the adversary, you know, the potential contestant here against Rabbi Yochanan, I would say the following: look, the original akdasha has nothing to do with kedushas aguf, and the kedusha that's generated is the kedushas domin. At what point in time is he? We'll call him Reuven, capable of being makdish this carbon with kedushas haguf. That's when he what? Right, when he brought out Shimon, and now he's makdish the entire animal. Oh, at that point, there's no dichui. Why? Because there could have been dichui on something that was never sanctified with kedushas haguf. And the maximum kedusha that he could have been makdish it at the in the early stage of dichui was only kedushas domin. So now there's a brand new kedusha when he buys out Shimon's half called kedushas aguf. There was never a moment of dichui as far as that kedushas aguf is concerned. So then you're coming to a conclusion which is pretty sensational. And that is that this halach of dichui, and again, dichui means you're not going to be able to be broiling on the mizbeach. And at what moment in time was that dichui activated? When it was only kedushas domin. Now, kedushas domin, l'chora, doesn't register at all on the Richter scale as far as kedushas aguf is concerned. So the halach of dichui would only apply to kedushas aguf, which means to be repulsed, so to speak, from the mizbeach, and now we can't regenerate its kashrus from his back. But in the case of kedushas domin, is there a din of dichui? Says Rashi, yesh toras dichui b'kedushas domin, afal pisha eino kodesh eino kedushas haguf, kigon hocha, shehikdish chetzio v'lo kodesh ela lo kitcha ela le domer, sharei ein lo bo ela chelek chetzio. Right? So you can't say that the Kedusha could be chal on the entire Behemah, Kedusha real lifshot b'kul al piv. He doesn't own the other half of the animal. V'afilu hachi, despite the fact that this Kedusha is only a Kedusha's domim, shayach be dichui v'tidcha olamis. And again, tidcha olamis here in this context means as far as what, Rav Osai? As far as the Mizbeach is concerned. What do you mean, tidcha olamis as far as the Mizbeach? We never even had a Kedushas Mizbeach here. We were only talking about a Kedushas Aguf. I'm sorry, Kedushas Donum. The law, Amrina, we should have said, and this is what Rabbi Yochanan is Machadish against the Svara, the law alima Kedushas Donum li pasul mishum dichui. Now, you need the paradox is, Rabbi Osei, in order to activate dichui, we need a full-fledged Kedusha. It means a Kedushas Aguf l'mizbeach. And then you can talk about dichui. Again, it could be the dichui would be chal simultaneously with the hakdasha. That was the Shmamina of Yesh Dichlu Meikara, but nevertheless, it's got to be a Dichlu that's chal on something that has Kedushas Mizbeach. Again, you could say Gita V'yadu Ka'achas, that together with Akdosha, you have already a Dichlu, but that would only make sense when the animal was Kodesh V'Kedushas Haguf. Here in this case, the Dichlu is chal on Kedushas Donin. Is there such a thing as Dichlu with regard to Kedushas Donin? But both say, what is Kedushas Donin? Well, what's really Kadosh in Kedushas Donin? The animal?
No,
the animal's not Kadosh. The animal represents what? A value. An abstract Donin. How much is it worth on the market? And that's what he's giving over to the Mizbeach. I'm sorry, over to the Gizmo, to the Hegdash. So if he was Magdash half the animal, let's say his partnership is worth 100, that's what he's being Magdash. The Gizbar will now sell this animal and he'll receive 100. That 100 belongs to Hegdash. It's Kedushas Domin. That's not Nifas B'dichui. I mean, what Dichui means, it has to be rejected from something. In the case of Domin, it's not rejected from anything. So this is a Pella. So Rabbo said, let's just summarize right now two difficult sugyas that we have. Number one, we have the sugya of Asham Shemesu Baaleha, or alternatively, an Asham that cannot be brought on the Mizbeach because he's already fulfilled his obligation and he's brought a Korban Asham. This is just the second string Asham. And Rashi tells us that there's a new halacha called Nituk, and as a result of that halacha of Nituk, even before he's able to implement the process of Yirah, actually start the Yipo Bomum and sell the carbon and use the Domim of Kesav Mizbeach for an Ola, already the Nituk has generated an Akira in which the carbon Asham now becomes a carbon Ola to such an extent that if he shechts it, he can shecht it as a carbon Ola. That's a Pella, which Tosis calls a Tema Gadolu. How can you tell me that Nituk itself could accomplish that goal of replacing the shame carbon of Asham with the shame carbon of Ola? And now we have another sugya of Hignish Chetzia, because he was a shutaf and all he has is half the animal, and already at that point where he was Magdash half the animal, we're going to apply, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the principle of what? Of Dichui. How can you apply the principle of Dichui just because at this point you want to send out the animal Yiroach Yistoev, but at this point it's still a Karban Asham? How do you magically convert it into a Karban what I meant to say was the following. I'm sorry, I got mixed up. At this point, it only has a Kedusha of what? Of Kedusha's Domin. It doesn't have any Kedusha Gufla Mizbeach. And yet, you're applying the principle of Dichlu. So what I'd like to do now is take a look at a sugya on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, hopefully we're going to fit all the pieces of the puzzle together in just a few minutes. Now, on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, we're going to take a look at a sugya that's smack in the middle of the page. And that's called Iboilahu. Alright, if this helps you, once you're on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, do you see a Tosis Dibre Masil De'i on your left side? Yes, no, maybe? Tosis Dibre Masil De'i. So if you go above that by that three lines, you'll see Iboilahu. Okay, so the Gemara raises the following suffix. This has to do with a sugya called Kaparas Ha'ola, Karban Ola. And the Gemara wants to know whether or not there is a Kapara to a Karban Ola. And the Gemara says the following, Iboilahu, A'esei Dili Achra Afrosha Mechapra O Lo Mechapra. We have a principle with regard to Karban Chapras, that the carbon chatas could only be machaper for a chait that was violated before what? Before the akdasha. And the Gemara now vacillates, what about the carbon ola? Again, we'll soon see what the power of a carbon ola is vis-a-vis kapara. And the Gemara wants to know, could you possibly bring the carbon ola to be machaper for something which was violated subsequent to the afrosha? In other words, that Ola should be different than Chatas. And the Gemara now analyzes the two sides of the Sofet. Mi Amrinan, should we say, mi di dehavi achatos? Let's compare an Ola to a Karban Chatos. Ma chatas, just like in the case of chatas, the kodem afrosha in liachar afrosha lo, the kapara power of the chatas is limited to averos. Again, we're talking about a shkoga here that he violated before the afrosha. But once the afrosha was chal, this karbon chatas could not possibly be mechaper on a sin that he will in the future, meaning subsequent to the afrosha being violated. So to Afrocha here now, in the case of all of the same Nami, we apply the same rule to call them Afrocha in Leach Afrocha Lo. O Dilma Lo Dam Yel Chatos. Ola is different than Chatos. Why? De Chatos al kol Chet v'Chet boi li suye Chado Chatos. Every Chet generates its own Chi of Chatos. Again, in certain cases of Helim Achas, you can kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. You'll bring a Chatos for two sins. But fundamentally, each sin generates its own chiyuv chatos. So the entire power of kapara inherent in the chatos is limited to that sin. There's got to be a relationship between that particular sin and the chatos, and which agent generates and cements that relationship. It's the akdasha. What happens after the akdasha is not going to generate a kapara power to this karbon for a different chet. That chet requires its own karbon. However, in the case of the karbon ola ve'hacha, you don't have to have a relationship between one particular essay. So the man didn't shake a lulav on Sukkot, he didn't eat matz on Pesach. He could bring one ola, and it's mechaper for all the essays. And therefore, the Gemara thinks that since there's no individual, singular relationship between a particular essay and the karban ola, the ola has this kind of generic power of kapar for all essays. Is there fafilu, even in the case of essay deliachar afrosha, nami machaper could also be machaper. Okay. So now what we want to do is we want to study an insight of the Briska Rov. And that you'll find in the Nefesh Tova, in the first volume. There are a number of different paragraphs that are relevant to us. I would start with Samach Hei, and then in Yirtzeh Hashem to go on to Samach Vav. Now you'll tell me what page it's on. Here it's on Ayin and Ayin Aleph, but I'm sure you have it on a different page. Ayin Aleph. And it's a short paragraph. You see this? Okay. Now Rashi, as we saw earlier, says that in the case of a karban asham, shemesu baila, which means that we can no longer bring this karban as a karban asham because there's no kapor liacham misa, Rashi says, roe, we send the animal out to graze, and after it becomes a balas mum, then damav noflim leketz hamizbeach. So we have this concept called ketz hamizbeach. Now, this Gemara here, this question of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, if you remember, was addressed to Rabbi Elazar, meaning why couldn't Rabbi Elazar use this case of Asham Liachar Misa as a proof that there is such a thing as a karbon, which, although it's completely bereft of a ritzui, nevertheless, we bring it as a karbon kosher. Why didn't Rabbi Elazar just quote this case and completely undermine Reish Lakish? Okay, so the case is Asham Shemesu Baila. Do I have a cup here with some liquids in it? I guess not. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at that. I looked at it. Okay. So he says the following. What was Reish Lakish bothered by? The pashtus in Reish Lakish was, where do we find a karban that has no ritzu? It's a karban kosher without ritzu. He says, I don't understand what the Gemara is talking about here. The Gemara thinks, I'll prove to you that there's a karban without ritzu. This case of Asham Shemesu Baila, this is not a case of a karban without ritzu. this carbon is going to be brought as a as an ola, as a carbon ola. That's what we're going to do with the money of the Ketzav Mizbeach. As we said before, we're going to purchase a carbon ola, call it an olas nedava. It's not being brought as an asham. As an ola, it has a ritzur. So this poor guy who died, and he doesn't have the ability of an asham, let's say the yarshim or whoever it is going to bring the carbon as an ola, again, after the entire process, let's assume, or after nituk, whatever the case may be. And there's a kapara power inherent in this in this ola. And therefore, he says that the only way we can salvage, we can explain and justify the kasha of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman in waving the flag of Asham Shemesu Bailov, etc., is only if we assume that Reish Lakish had a different problem. That wasn't Reish Lakish's problem. He wasn't asking the question of is there such a thing as a carbon without ritzur? But rather, what if there's no ritzur on the gufa carbon? That was Reish Lakish's problem. Reish Lakish believed, according to his svaris logic, that maybe you could have such a thing as a ritzur, but the ritzur has to be somehow related to the gufa carbon. And if it's not meratza for the gufa karbon, that itself is a reason to pasul the karbon. And therefore he asks the following. This ritzui, in the case of Asham Shemesu Bala, is not a ritzui of a karbon Asham. As far as the ritzui of a karbon Asham, that's impossible because he died. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You think Reish Lakish that if I rob the carbon of its original ritzui, namely as an asham, the carbon has to be pasul? Not so. Here's the case of asham shemesu baila, and even though the original ritzui was a ritzui of asham, nevertheless we're going to bring it leacham misa without a ritzui as an asham, but rather with a substitute ritzui. So that was the problem that Reish Lakish had. Again, let's go over this. If Reish Lakish's problem was how can you have a carbon without ritzui? I don't recognize such an entity. Then the Gemara is not talking to Reish Lakish here because the Gemara is shooting over his head. This case of Asham Shemesu Bailov and we're going to bring a carbon olin instead, that does have a ritzui. So we haven't proven anything to Reish Lakish. The answer is Reish Lakish had a different problem. Reish Lakish is willing to admit that, that you could have some sort of a carbon minus ritzui. But to say that we're going to substitute a second ritzui, a different ritzui, for the first ritzui, that would pasul the carbon. Meaning once you rob the original carbon of its ritzui, and every carbon has its unique categorization as ritzui, that should pasul the carbon. And therefore in the case of Shalol Lishma, Reish Lakish argues, if you're robbing it of its original ritzui, whatever the carbon might be, but through Shalol Lishma there's no ritzui, if you kill the ritzui, then the carbon should be possible. Gemara says, I'll disprove you. I'll undermine your entire shita. Because in the case of Asham Shemesu Baila, what are we going to get at the end of the road? A carbon ola. Carbon ola means that we've completely undermined and neutralized the kapara of an asham, and substitute a different ritzui. Reish Lakish is not bothered by the fact that the second carbon has a ritzui, doesn't have a ritzui. That's not his issue. His issue is how can you be machshir a carbon when that ritzui is not the same ritzui as the original ritzui of the carbon. Okay. Now, what I really want to study with you is the Brisker Rav in number Samach Vav. Okay. Now you'll see in the second paragraph that starts with the words Umavur Bidivrei Rashi. You have that? So Rashi says that once this nituk and Bezdin declared, take it out to be Roeh and purchase with its money after it becomes a Baal Smum an Ola, it's kosher. And even if he went and he shechted that carbon in that state with Shem Ola, it's kosher. Now, what bothers us about this Rashi? We have, if you remember, we discussed this about a week ago, A halacha l'moshe miSinai called chatos mesa, which means that in certain cases the chatos goes l'misa. Here, in the case of Asham, we're saying roa. Roa means that we're going to let it go out to pasture, and we're going to wait until it becomes a balmum, which means that what we have to do is we have to passel the karmon, and then after passeling the karmon by making it into a balas mum, now we could resurrect the karmon from the dead, so to speak, tarti mashma, and we can now take the domin, the monies of this karmon, and we can makriv a karmon from the domin, and we can makriv a karmon ola. However, Rashi is saying that we can make this karmon and consider it as a karmon ola once it's yotzal re'iyah, meaning when the nituk took place. How could that be? The din of re'iyah is not enough to say that we now have a karmon ola, and if it's a karmon kasha, as far as the karmon asham is concerned, it's lemisa azla, because we have no possibility of bringing the karmon asham. And now, through nituk, which sends the carbon, the animal out to the grazing area, now we're going to be able to makshir a carbon asham, which is possible, and make it into a carbon ola. And he says the following. This is a paragraph that starts with bir hagrid. Do we have that? Who's the grid? It's not my grid. It's his grid. They were first cousins. And that's where Beryl. And the exciting thing about this sefer, it mamish brings you into the base medrash of father and son, the Brisker Rav and the Rav Beryl. And he says the following. There's something called, listen to this, Rav Osai, an amazing chiddush here. Kiddushas haguf ledomov. Whoa. This is what I call a hybrid of sorts. A bein hashmashas. Kiddushas haguf ledomov. What sugi does that remind you of that we just discussed a few minutes ago? The sugi on Daf Yudeis of Rabbi Yochanan, that if he was a half shutov and he was Magdish's half, then we're going to apply the principle of dichui. And if you remember, we asked the question, how can you apply the principle of dichui when it doesn't have kedushas haguf at all? But if we take the Brisker Rav of kedushas haguf lidamov, whatever that means, we're going to try to rack our brains and figure it out, then maybe that's what Rabbi Yochanan means when he says yesh dichui lidamov. Not yesh dichui lidamov when there's only sealing kedushas hadamim. Kedushas hadamim doesn't lend itself to dichui. There's no such thing as dichui. It's all dini mamonis. It's all mamon hegdish v'kinyana. But the answer is that he was magdish half the animal, and that half the animal, believe it or not, has some sort of vestige of kedushas haguf. Kedushas haguf only as far as damim is concerned. Again, that paradoxical concept. And if we can apply such a thing to the case of an asham shemesu bailov, that maybe it does have a kedushas haguf of some sort for an ola, then maybe we begin to understand what this first stage of nituk is all about. So first he quotes the sugya of Yochanan, and if you skip down again, I'm not going to go through the whole sugya again. He says the kevah de hikdash meikar rak chetzia v'loisa ru'uya l'kedushas damim is nidchasa, there's halach of dichui me'akrova, means when he buys the second half, he cannot be makrov the karbon. And the reason for that is because it now became re'uil of his bath. In other words, until this point, the kedushas haguf was sort of conditional, if you know what I mean. It was lurking in the shadows, but it wasn't a full-fledged kedushas haguf because he was only magdish chetzia. But there's a potential that chetzia could become kula, and at what point would it become re'uya now for a full-fledged kedushas haguf? That's when he buys the second half of the karbon. It was already nidche based on the kedushas haguf of a partial kedushas haguf. And if you fast forward down that seven lines, you'll see a it should be a separate paragraph, but it's within the paragraph that says ulam agriz. You have such a thing? And he says the following: ein kavona sagmar de betchila kedusha be kedushas domim greda. The gemara can't be meaning as Reb Chaim Loza tried to say, that there was only a Kedushas Adomim at the point of buying half and being Magdash half. That's impossible. That's an untenable position. You can't apply Dichli in such a case. El Pirush, the Kedushas Adomim Hachahu, the Ein Kedushas Ali Karev, although it does have a Kedushas Aguf, but it's not a full-fledged Kedushas Aguf. We can't be Makrev it. But it does have a Kedushas Aguf. It to generate the possibility of replacing it, and by letting it become a balmum and then buying a carbon to replace it. So that level of Kedush Saguf, it's going to achieve, even though he only has half the animal. The Michad Gisa Kadosh Uvi Kedush Saguf. Why? I'll prove it to you. Because we can convert and transform this carbon down the line into another carbon through this entire process. Ach, Kevin Shein Royally Kare, if you can't have a Kedusha Guf on something that doesn't have a Torah's Hakrova, therefore its Kedusha is limited to Dhamma. It only has Kedusha Saguf in Dhamma. So it has a Kedusha Guf in the sense that down the line I'll be able to sell it after it becomes a Balmum and buy a carbon with it. But on the other hand, it doesn't have a full fledged Kedusha Guf because at this point in time, the best I can do with it is be makdish in a kedushas domin. He says, "Be'emes leka dichui." This would not be dichui if we would only have a kedushas. You know, as if all we would discuss here was the kedushas aguf, it would not be subject to dichui here because it has no Torah sakrava bikur kedushaso. But nevertheless, we're saying, despite that fact, it has a chalos dichui on what? On the kedushas aguf l'dama. Again, we have to figure this out, but Rabbo said it's a major breakthrough. And not only will this explain the sugya on Daf Yubeis Amud Aleph, the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, but also he wants to explain Rashi Shita in Nituk, in the case of an Ashim Shabesu Bailov. That's the fast forward to the paragraph that says Ulufum Svari. You have that? Mm-hmm. He says that according to Rashi, the Hilchasa of Chatos Mesos, in the case of Ashim, is Roa. Again, the Asham could be converted into, transformed into a carbon ola through that entire process. And that potential, so to speak, of sending it out liros until Yipo Bamum and then Yipo Domov Lidav Lolos Lidava, that means it has already a Kedushas Domim Liola. But what kind of Kedushas Domim Liola? A Kedushas Guf Lidmei Ola. And therefore he says, do me a favor, John, if you don't mind just opening the door, because I don't know why it became so quiet. I get nervous.
It's too early.
Oh, it is too early.
No, it's okay, exactly 1:15.
Okay, let me just see if we could add two lines here. He says, Ari Nemar di Osham Shemesu Bal Yesh Kedushas Damin Liola. Do you see those three words? Kedushas Damin Liola. At this point, the best you can call it is Kedushas Damin, because it's not royally Karev, Mesu Bailah. But nevertheless, it has a future Kedusha within the Kedusha's Domim, a potential to become Domim Liola. Is Lafi Divrei Agris, Ein Abir Sheyesh Lo Kedusha's Domim Di Alma, it's not a classical, pure, maximum ceiling Kedusha's Domim, Ela Isbe Kedusha's Haguf L'Domov. Rav Osei, this is my bug, because in all my shiurim that I've been giving, John, you've been there, Alan, you've been there on Derech HaLimud, we always made a complete distinction between two kedushas that are inherently fundamentally different, kedushas domin and kedushas aguf, and make your choice. You can't wear both hats. Now we're seeing an overlap in the words here of the Brisker Rav of kedushas haguf l'domov. So it has a kedushas aguf. The Kedusha Aguf with his Beath is only going to express itself later on down the line. So at this point, all he has is a Kedusha's Dhamma. He says that that process of that concept or enterprise of Kedusha's Aguf with Dhamma, which we saw in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, that was Dichui, after he was Makriv, he was Magdish half his ownership, is Hachinami. We can apply that same enterprise here in the case of Ashim Shemesu Bailov, that it's got a Kedusha Saguf Li'ola, because potentially I can convert this Ashim into an Ola. Right now, if you have to define its Kedusha, I would say it's Kedusha's Dhamma. But again, at what point can I realize, so to speak, can I materialize that that kedushas haguf, which is for an ola. Rashi shita is all I need for that is what? Nituk. And you would say that at this point, maybe we have to go through the entire step-by-step process in order to make it into a full kedushas haguf of an ola. And we have to wait till the nafal bamum and sell it and ketzam zbeach and the whole nine yards. The answer is, says Rashi, hu atzmo kashali karev biola. Why? And the answer is because it was only excluded from an ola because we hadn't had the process of re'iyah, reish ayin yud hey. But now that's called mechusar nituk. I think he heard you open the door.
Yes.
once there was a nituk, is then all we need is a mesirah raya, and at that point, somehow, magically, that nituk, the mesirah raya, is going to create a yichud li'ola, he calls it, in which it no longer has a toras asham, but there's a kedushas domav li'ola. And a kedushas domav li'ola, once he shechts it, it turns the animal from Asham into an Ola, the Shapiyoch Likarev, under this law of Kedushas Domim Limizbeh, Kedushas Aguf Limah. Alright, Rav Ossi, so we'll try to analyze this a little further, but at least we have some sort of a major revolution here.
Are we starting like tomorrow morning?
Yeah, tomorrow's 10:20. If you can pass.
Did you tell the others or?
I did in the past, but I forgot to remind
them. I'll send them an SMS.
Yeah, thank you so much.